Yeah, my name's, for those of you who don't know, my name's Duncan. I attend this church. And, yeah, it's my wife sitting over there. Just wave your hand, Anae. I think everyone knows her. So I'm going to be speaking tonight. And, yeah, I really feel like God gave me this word long, long time ago, a few months ago, in fact. Before Rainer even asked me to preach tonight, and so it was quite, when he talked to us, then I was like, yeah, I know exactly what I want to say. So I'm quite excited. It's a topic where a lot of Christians don't like to talk about. You know, it's something that the topic that I want to talk about is God's purpose in suffering. Why is there suffering? If you're a Christian, why didn't all your problems and your pains go away? Why didn't you just have an awesome life from then on? And it's a question that a lot of Christians struggle with. And a lot of Christians actually fall away because of this. Okay, and I want us to take a look at this. Okay, we want to be worshiping God in spirit and truth. And this is where God's truth is something that we need to know about. You know, this part of God is something that, you know, you don't often stick up these scriptures on your door or your cupboard, you know, stuff about suffering, you know. And that's natural, because suffering's not, it's not nice. It doesn't feel nice. But what I want us to see, and I trust that God will change our hearts, is to see what God's purpose is in suffering. Okay, is he a bad God who just wants us to, you know, have a bad time, you know, just spoil our fun the whole time? Is that his purpose in suffering? And it was amazing, as I was studying this thing and going over scriptures, I was amazed myself to see actually how much it's talked about in the Bible specifically. I thought there were only one or two scriptures, you know, God just mentioned, you know, if you're going through a bad time, here's a scripture, whatever. But there's actually a lot of stuff in the Bible specifically on suffering. So the first scripture that I want to take a look at is Matthew 13, verse 18 to 21. Okay, and this is the parable of the seed. And the disciple, he's told this parable to the people, and his disciples actually ask him, what does this mean? What's going on here? And I'm not going to go through the whole bit. I just want to concentrate on one specific part. You remember the parable of the seed, for those of you who don't know, is when a sower sows seed and some falls by the wayside. The birds pick up the seed. The next one falls on rocky ground, quickly comes up, and then it withers when the sun comes out. The other one is sown in amongst some weeds. Okay, and the weeds actually choke the seed. And then the last bit of seed is thrown on good ground, and that produces a good crop. And this was the explanation of what Jesus was saying in the first two parts. He says there, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Okay, and I see that I know a lot of people who were great Christians. You know, I looked up to them in years gone past, and they've fallen away. And often they've fallen away when the bad times come. All right, exactly what Jesus is speaking about here. And personally, I believe one of the reasons why people fall away is because they haven't been told the truth. You know, a lot of Christians, a lot of preachers, and I know it's not so much in Shofar because we love our truth here, but a lot of preachers will almost try and kind of sell you the gospel, like, come to Jesus and all your problems will be fixed, you know. God's got a wonderful plan for your life and everything's going to be cool and great and grand. Who's heard of stuff like that before? Okay, now, what is true is that God's got a plan for your life. Okay, obviously, he's got great purpose. We're going to take a look at a scripture just now. But a lot of people come to God with the false expectation that once they become a Christian, their lives are going to be, you know, great. They're going to have no problems in their lives. God's going to bless them. They're going to have amazing house, an amazing car, an amazing wife or husband, and everything's going to just be great. Okay? And when stuff doesn't work out like they've been promised, that's when they fall away. Okay, and I want us to take a look at this aspect. Okay, because me personally, I don't want to fall away when tribulation and bad times come around. And I don't want any of us as well. Okay, I want us to have a truth encounter here. We must know the word. What does God say about suffering? You know, is he gonna take it away? You know, what's gonna happen? Okay, and I was actually looking in the Bible, and there's actually not one part in the Bible where God promises us that we will have no trouble in our lives. There's not one specific verse in the Bible where he promises us. But then I went to look, and I wanted to find out, okay, but what is God promising us? Okay, and I found a few things. God is offering us, or God says that he will give us strength. Okay, he will give us boldness. All right, he will give us victory. All right, all of these things God promises for us. Okay, the other one is he will give us peace. Okay, now specifically in Philippians 4 verse 7, it says that God gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Okay, now that, you know, that's, I always quote that scripture, God give me a peace that passes all understanding. But then I actually clicked what actually that peace was. You know, if God gives us a peace in the good times, then that's understandable, if you know what I mean. Okay, we can understand that. You're having a good time, everything's fine and dandy in your life, and therefore you're going to have peace. Okay, it's going to be a natural byproduct of the good times, will it not? But God promises us that he's going to give us a peace that passes all understanding. Okay, and that phrase that means passes all understanding is talking about in those times when it's tough, when you shouldn't have peace. You know, out in the world, there's tough times, people are suffering, they're going through bad things. And when we go through a tough time, us as Christians, and we have peace, that's a peace that passes all understanding. We can't explain it. We can't explain it because our circumstances tell us that we shouldn't have peace. You know? Our circumstances are tough, and yet we have peace. Okay, and I was reading the other day a little section on William Wilberforce, that's his name, yeah? The guy who got slavery banished in the UK. And one of the things that they were saying, John Piper wrote the book, and he was saying that one of the greatest things that people noticed about William Wilberforce is that he fought for, I think it was 46 years or so, to abolish slavery. Okay, single-handedly alone, abolished slavery in the United Kingdom. Okay, and that was a massive thing because that was, to Britain at the time, that was their core labor. Right, that's how they thought they needed to produce. That's how they thought they needed to stay ahead as a mighty force in the world at that time. And single-handedly, obviously, with God's help and God's grace, he was able to abolish that. But he went through massive tough times. Okay, he went through illness. His daughter died. He went for 46 years. He pushed for this thing. Okay, and got rejected, year after year after year. And one of the things that people observed and wrote down about him is that he had a joy that no one could explain. That he said, they said that whenever he had those tough times and whenever he got rejected for the 50th time or whatever, he still had that joy. You know, he would laugh, he was happy, he had quite a bad illnesses, few illnesses, and even in those times, he was happy, he had joy, he had peace. And that's a peace that passes all understanding. That's not our own peace, that's God's peace. Okay, so that's another thing that God promises us. Okay. I want to take a look at another scripture, Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. All right, now this is the parable of where God's talking about what we should build our life on. All right, and it says there, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall." Okay. Now, when we take a look at that verse, it talks about two instances, two types of people. Those who kind of believe in Jesus, all right, who accept Jesus, they trust in the Lord, all right, and those who don't. Okay. Now, when you take a look at that scripture, I've highlighted over there, in both of those instances, that phrase, "and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house," appear in both of those scenarios. Okay, and that shows us that the tough times are going to come. Okay, if you're a Christian, if you're a non-Christian, if you're a non-believer, then the tough times are going to be there. All right, we all go through bad times. That's not something new. That's not something that we should be afraid of. Okay. The next scripture is 1 Peter 4, verse 19. Now, this is a little bit of a scary one. It says there, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." Okay, and that scripture shows us that sometimes suffering can actually be according to God's will. Sometimes God puts us through suffering, and that's His will. Okay, now that might be a scary thing. Okay, and when I read that, I was like, God, that's pretty hectic. You know, sometimes you put us through suffering. But, you know, and at this point, I was kind of thinking, all right, God, now I'm starting to, my picture of you is not so correct, according to your word here. Because my picture of you is that you coming in here, and you're going to just take away all the problems. You know, all my suffering is going to go. You're going to help. You're going to take that all away. I'm going to have this amazing life. Okay, and that's a great thought, but that's not often the truth. Okay, and that's why sometimes a lot of Christians fall away. They actually become offended with God because of this false notion of who God is. Okay, God is not someone who's going to take away your pain. All right, but we must also realize that it's not His heart just to make us suffer just for the heck of it. Okay, God is not this God who takes pleasure in seeing us suffer. All right, that's not His heart, and that's why that's what I'm wanting to try and show us and take a look at is that God is not a killjoy. God doesn't want us to just suffer for the heck of it. Okay, and I want to take a look at why does God make us suffer? What's the purpose? You know, what is He trying to do in it? Okay, because sometimes we will go through hard times, and sometimes it'll be God's will for us to go through tough times. Right? Because a lot of people, when we go through tough times, and I know I often do that, when we're going through tough times, then we think, yeah, God, where are you? You know, you feel so far away. I can't feel, I don't know where you are. Why didn't you come and help me? Why didn't you take me out of this tough time? And we're going to take a look at why God does that. Okay. What is His purpose? All right. Now, another thing, just before we go on to the next one, another thing that's quite amazing to me is when I took a look at the scriptures in terms of suffering, God specifically in His Word says that we must actually rejoice in our suffering. Okay, we must actually be happy. Okay, it says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various troubles or trials." You know, rejoice in your tribulation. Okay, and that's also like, you know, a lot of Christians actually try and run away from their troubles. You know, God wants to put them through a testing time, and sometimes we can actually run away from our trials. Okay, we can run away from our trials and testing times by being disobedient to God. All right. But God says that we must rejoice in our tough times. We must rejoice in those times because he is actually making us more like him. We're going to see how and what he's actually doing in that instance. Okay. Right. So, before we take a look at that, I want to take a look at one scripture. All right. It says Jeremiah 29 verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Okay, now before we take a look at anything, we need to first realize that God is good. Okay, like I said, God is good, all right? His thoughts towards us are good. Okay, so he is not there, he is not a killjoy, all right? He does not want your life to be miserable, all right? That is not his purpose when we go through tough times. Okay, he is a good God. He wants to give us a hope and a future. All right. But often in our kind of worldly thinking, we think a hope and a future through God is one without the tough times, without the suffering. But actually, it's the opposite. God takes us through those times so that one day we can have a hope and a future. And without that suffering and those tough times, there's no hope and there's no future. Okay, and we're going to take a look at that. All right, because God wants you to succeed in life. That's his heart. All right, his heart is not for you to fail. Okay? And so that's why often he will take you through those times. Okay. Now, a good example is this. I'm a primary school teacher, all right? I've got a little grade 5 class. Okay, they're 10, 11 year olds. And then I also coach rugby. Okay, I've got a little under 10 rugby team. They love their rugby. Slim's been there to help me a little bit. They're very enthusiastic, Slim. All right, they love their rugby. They're amped up about rugby. They just want to play rugby the whole time. You know, at break times they come to me and talk to me about rugby. So they love their rugby. Okay. Now, in rugby practice, when we go to rugby practice, we obviously are training them to succeed. All right, we are training them so that they can win games. All right. Now, obviously, that's not the purpose, the ultimate purpose. It's for them to enjoy, but I love winning as well, so I want them to win. Okay. So they come to practice and they train to be better rugby players. All right. We take them and we train them for about 3 hours a week. All right. And then they play a game on a Saturday. Okay. Now, part of our training with them, and I'm sure a lot of you who have played sport will know this as well, is fitness. Okay, we got to get them fit. All right. Now, the reason why I've got to get them fit is because they got to play good rugby. Okay, because if they are unfit, then they can't play good rugby because they're tired after 5 minutes. All right, we need them to be playing and being fit right up until the last whistle. We say, imagine those times when they're running. Imagine those 5 minutes before the end of the game and that team's on your line. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Push through. Push through. Okay? So we do fitness with them. Okay? And we drill those guys. All right? We get them to run and do fitness for about 20 minutes at the beginning of a practice. Okay? And some of those guys suffer. All right? They go through. Some of them, you know, you can see the pain on their face as they're going through. You know, some of them even shed a tear or two as they're running through. All right, and we keep pushing them. Okay, now my heart for them is not for them to suffer. Okay, I'm not just giving them fitness because I want to see them suffer. Okay, that's not my heart. My heart is for them to succeed when they play rugby. Okay, to play their game. So I need to put them through those hard times now, so that when they play their game, they're going to succeed in that game. Okay, so they suffer now. They have their tough time now, but one day they're going to, a few days' time, hopefully they're going to put that into practice. Okay, and that's God's heart as well. You know, God is the same. You know, God doesn't want us to just suffer for the heck of it. Okay, he's putting us through that suffering so that we can one day succeed. You know, God's got a calling for each one of us. He wants you to succeed in that calling, and it's not your calling, it's his calling. You know, he wants you to succeed and to extend his kingdom. Alright? And often to do that, he needs to put us through those tough times. Those times to really build us up, so that in those times we can succeed. Okay. Right. So is everyone excited about suffering? Okay. Okay, so we must never... So what I want you to do is keep this in the back of your mind. Okay? While we're going through these scriptures, keep that in the back of your mind. God is good. Okay? And He wants you to succeed. Alright? Not for your own gain, for you to be, you know, whatever. It's for His purposes. Alright? But that's why He puts us through those tough times. Okay? And we must start rejoicing in those tough times. Alright? We must actually say, when those tough times come, we must go, yes, God. Okay, what are you trying to teach me here? All right, and that's tough, but God gives us the grace to be able to do that. Okay. Right, let's take a look at various types of suffering. All right, what are the various types of suffering that God puts us through? All right, Romans 8:35 talks about a few of them. All right, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All right, so there's various types of suffering that we can get, various tough times that we can get. Okay, one of them is what we call tribulation. Okay, and that talks about grievous trouble. That's when tough times are really, really tough. Okay, that can be physical hardships, emotional stuff, or whatever it is. The other one is persecution. Okay, now the definition of persecution is a program or campaign to exterminate, drive away, subjugate a people because of their religion, race, or beliefs. All right, and we know a lot about that in South Africa. All right, obviously in apartheid that was a form of persecution, but Christians as well in various parts of the world go through persecution. All right, they are persecuted, they are often killed, they are tortured for their beliefs. All right, and sometimes we go through those tough times as well, those persecutions. Okay, sometimes you are rejected because of your beliefs. All right, people will actually not want to have anything to do with you because you're a Christian. Okay, so that's persecution. Okay. Sometimes it's testing or trials. All right. Now, testing or trials can have to do with persecution or tribulation as well. But sometimes God puts us through those tough times to test us, okay? To test our hearts and that type of thing. All right. Sometimes a tough time, when we're going through a tough time, it's actually God's discipline. All right. God is actually putting us through some discipline. Okay, maybe we've done something wrong. We've disobeyed Him, all right, and He actually needs to put us through that discipline to teach us something. Okay, now again, God is not a killjoy, all right, and God, when God disciplines us, it's for our good. All right, those of you who maybe you know, I know when I was younger, my dad would give me a hiding if I did something wrong. Okay, and obviously I didn't like it at the time. But now I come to appreciate that discipline in my life. Okay, because through that discipline, my Father taught me various things. Okay, and it's the same with God. God is our Father as well. And sometimes when we are disobedient or we do something that we shouldn't do, God has to actually discipline us. Okay? And that is ultimately for our good. God wants to show us something. He wants to teach us something. Okay. So those are some of them. All right, now sometimes it's quite obvious to which one of these you're going through, all right? Especially something like persecution. Okay, you know when you're going through persecution. Okay, but other times a tough time is kind of hard to discern, all right? And that's when we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Sometimes we actually need to say, okay, God, what is going on here, all right? What are you trying to show me here? Okay, that's when we need to trust Him, all right? Now, the other thing is that, you know, there are times where us as Christians go through suffering which is not from God. Okay. Now, those times are times like when we've got a specific bondage, something that holds us down. Okay. Something in, you know, it could be a bondage of fear, right, or a bondage of lust, or something like that. Those type of suffering is not from God. Okay. And we need to also discern that. All right, because God doesn't want us to suffer in some ways. Okay, He doesn't want us to suffer through bondage. All right, those are the types of things that He has given us victory over. Okay, and if you're going through those type of things, that is not God's purpose for your life. Okay, and God actually wants to set you free from that stuff. All right. Okay. Right. So, what is His purpose in suffering? All right. Now, when we take a look at suffering, all right, and His purpose in it, a very important point is to know that His ways are higher than our ways. Okay. We cannot often understand God. We cannot know why we go through certain things. Sometimes He shows us. Other times He wants us to trust in Him. Okay. Sometimes only once you've gone through it and at the end afterwards do you realize why you've gone through it. Okay. Sometimes you don't even know why. Okay. But we need to know that His ways and His purposes are higher than ours. Okay. So what I'm trying to show you here in terms of His purposes are some reasons why God puts us through those times. Okay. But we need to still trust God. Sometimes you're not going to know why. Sometimes it's going to be totally foreign to you. Okay. Right, sorry. Just before we go through that, I just want to take a look at God's pattern in terms of suffering and in terms of our lives. All right. Now, I want to give an example of... There's four instances in the Bible which go through various patterns. Okay, the same type of thing happens to these people. Okay, and I'm taking a look at specifically Joseph, all right? David in the Bible. Joseph was the one who was eventually, I don't know what you would call it, the ruler under Egypt. Okay, there was the Pharaoh and then there was Joseph. Okay, then David, who was the king of Israel, all right? And then Israel as a nation and Jesus. Okay, all of those four instances, those people or group of people went through a similar pattern in their lives. Okay, and it started, number one, with a promise or a calling or an anointing. Okay, so if you look at, say, David was a shepherd boy. Right, he was a nothing in that time. He was the youngest of his family, and he looked after the sheep. That was his job. All right? And then Samuel the prophet came. God said that he must anoint the new king. Saul was the king before him. All right? And God rejected Saul. And God said, you must go and anoint the new king, and I'm going to go and show you who. So anyway, long story short, eventually it comes to David. Okay, David is anointed king at that spot. All right. Now remember, now he is still a shepherd boy. Okay, he's still nothing, but now Samuel comes and anoints him as king. Okay. Now I know if that was me, someone walked in here, poured some oil on my head, and saying I'm going to be the prime minister of South Africa, I'll be like, all right, here we go. Where's my limo? We going? All right. And I'm sure that's what David thought. Okay. David thought, probably thought, you know, all right, this is pretty freaky now what's going on, but this is pretty cool, you know. I'm going to be king of Israel. Wow, God is amazing. This is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Brilliant. Okay. Then he goes on and he fights David and Goliath. He fights Goliath. Okay. Kills Goliath in front of the whole army of the Philistines and Israel. All right. And now he's probably thinking, I can imagine him thinking now, God is really taking me, this is going to be awesome, I can see it coming, you know. Then he becomes, he goes into Saul's close quarters, all right, he plays the harp for Saul, all right, so now he's even closer to the throne that God has promised him. So now he's thinking, Lord, this is great, this is awesome, you know, God, you're taking me on this path, all right. But then suddenly what happens is Saul turns on him, okay, and actually wants to kill him. All right. And now David has to flee from Saul. All right. He has to put foot and get away from Saul because Saul wants to kill him. All right. Now, we know what happens in the end with the story. Okay. We've got the whole story, so we know what happens. But if you can imagine, I know myself, if I was David at that point, I would have no idea what's going on. Okay, I'd be questioning God, Lord, what is going on? You've anointed me as king. Now I'm having to run for my life. Saul wants to kill me. He's the king now. How am I going to be? What's going to happen? You know, you've promised me that you've anointed me as king, and now I'm running for my life. And David had to run for a number of years for his life. Okay, he had to go through tough times. All right, he had to live in the caves. He had to fight many battles. And all of that time must have been very confusing for David. Okay, and that was years. That wasn't just months or days. That was years. Okay, and I can imagine his train of thought the whole time. You know, God. David was trusted God. He had amazing faith in God. But I know myself, I would have been, yes, God, what is going on here? You know, I have no idea what's going on. Okay, and that's where we need to trust Him. Okay, we know what happens in the end. Okay, we can see God's purpose of it in it. But at that time, when David was going through those tough times, he had no idea what was going on. He actually had to trust God in those times. All right. We know eventually that he eventually became king over Israel. And he was, I think, the greatest king of Israel other than Jesus. So that was David. All right. Another one was Joseph. Okay, Joseph got two dreams that his family and his brothers and whatever are going to be bowing before him. Okay, God gave him this dream, all right, and that was a God-inspired dream. God was showing him one day what was going to happen. All right, so we can see from the Bible that Joseph was very excited. Okay, because he ran to his brothers, to his father. He told them all about the dream. All right, which was the first mistake that he made. Okay, I think he was like a windgat there at the moment. He's kind of like, yeah, you guys are going to bow before me, you know. He was very excited. Okay, then what happened? We know that his brothers got very jealous of him, and they sold him as a slave. Okay, and again, that's a time when I imagine Joseph sitting there in prison, thinking, God, what is going on here? Okay, what have I done to deserve this? You know, maybe he's thinking, okay, Lord, what did I do wrong here? You know, what must I repent of? And Joseph went through those tough times for, again, many, many years. All right, with no answer from the Bible that we can see of why he was going through that. God didn't answer him at all. All right, and God wanted him to trust him in those times. All right, and then we know what happens in the end. Through those tough times, God directs him, he leads him to Egypt, all right, to the Pharaoh, and eventually he became a great ruler in Egypt. Okay, so other examples there are Israel and of course Jesus, but all of them follow the same type of pattern. Okay, there was a calling on their lives, all right, an anointing, a promise. Okay, then there was a time of tough times, of suffering, all right, where there was no answer, no reason why they were going through those times, okay, and that was obviously a long time, in a lot of cases a long time, and then after that tough time was their promise realized, okay, their anointing was fulfilled and that type of thing, what God wanted them to do, okay, all right, so often God works the same through us, right? He works in that same pattern. Okay, sometimes a lot of you might have received a calling from God. All right, God has shown you that you are going to do whatever. All right, you're really excited. Okay, and then suddenly the times start getting tough. Okay, and that's the time when we start questioning God. God, where are you? What about this promise you promised me? You know, why do I have to go through all these tough times? You know, God, where are you? I don't feel you. You're nowhere. You know. Those are the times when we need to trust Him. Okay, because there's a specific purpose in those tough times. Alright, so what is His purpose? Okay, let's take a look. Now these are some instances, some scriptures from the Bible where it talks about God's purposes in suffering. Why He puts us through those tough times. Alright, the first one is obedience. Okay, sometimes we go through bad things because God teaches us, God is wanting us to be obedient to Him. All right. He wants us to be totally obedient to Him and to what He says. All right. Because, you know, God's calling on your life, all right, and what He wants you to do in life is great. Okay, it's big things. Okay, God says that He's got plans that are even way more than we can imagine. All right, and that's not for us to you know, feel cool and whatever. But, you know, often our calling, if we are not ready, can actually kill us. Okay? Because our calling, God's calling on our lives is so great, right, if we are a Christian, that sometimes it can actually kill us if we don't, if we go into it too early, if we're not ready for it. Okay, so God's got to make us ready. Right? He needs us to be obedient. That's the first thing. All right. Hebrews 5 verse 8 says, though he was a son, yet he learnt obedience by the things which he suffered. Okay, now they're talking about Jesus there. Right, and the Bible is saying that even Jesus needed to learn obedience. And the way that he learned obedience was through suffering. Okay, so that's one of the purposes of God. God puts us through those tough times for us to learn obedience. Okay, those tough times, then all the other stuff falls out the window. Then we go, all right, God, what do you want us? What do I need to do? Okay, we learn to be obedient in those times. All right. Suffering also exposes our heart. Okay, sometimes when we go through tough times, God actually exposes our heart. We actually see our heart for what it is. Right? Maybe we're chasing after other things other than God. Okay, and when those tough times come, then we actually see our heart. Our heart is exposed. Our real motives are exposed. Okay, and God's not wanting to do that to kind of make us feel guilty or bad about ourselves or whatever. He exposes those things so that we can repent and we can move on, we can refocus on Him. All right. Next thing, His purpose is to give us an eternal perspective. All right, we'll take a look at a scripture later on with regard to that. All right. The next one is character and hope. Okay, so God puts us through tough times because He wants to develop our character. All right. Now, to God, our character is more important than our comfort. Okay. Our character is the only thing that we're going to take with us one day when we die. Okay, we're not going to be taking our cars or our houses or anything else, our clothes. All right, we're taking our character with us. Okay, and God knows how important our character is. Okay, so often tough times are there to build our character. Okay, now Romans 5, verse 3 to 5 tells us this. All right, it says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Okay, another translation says that we rejoice in our tribulations. Again, that's a foreign concept. That seems weird. Like, why would I rejoice when I'm going through a tough time? Okay, but it's because of this. It's because God is developing our character. We can rejoice and say, you know, God, I know this is tough, but I know I'm coming out a better person. All right, through these tough times. All right, it says, knowing that tribulation, number one, produces perseverance. Okay? Steadfastness. All right. Perseverance produces character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Okay, so ultimately, God gives us hope. All right. Hope that one day we're going to come through this. Okay, hope that God is the victory. All right. And hope that one day we are going to be with Him in heaven. Okay, that's the hope that God has got for us. All right. The other one is patience. Okay? A lot of people struggle with this. Patience. All right? We live in a world that is a McDonald's generation. Okay? We want everything now. Okay? We don't want to have to wait for it. Okay? And if God has given us a promise or something, we want it now. All right? Or if God has given us something or promised us something, we want it now. All right? Even sometimes, and this is natural as well, if we're praying for a family member or a friend to become saved, we want them to be saved now. Okay? But God doesn't work like that. All right? James 1, verse 2 to 4 says, My brethren, again, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Again, rejoice when you go through those tough times. Okay? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Right, so God wants us to give, needs often to teach us patience. Okay, sometimes we go through those times and we just want it to finish. Or we're very hasty, we want stuff to happen now. Okay, and then God puts us through those tough times to just slow us down, to give us that patience, right? To let go of control of our lives, right? And so that we give control over to God, all right? The other one is purification. And Job 23 verse 10 talks about this. Okay, it says there, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." And the way that companies or whatever you would call it purify gold, right? God says that He wants to make us gold. The way that you purify gold is actually by heating it up. Okay, gold and silver. What you do is you heat it up, all right. And then what happens is all the impurities come to the surface. And once those impurities are at the surface, then all you need to do is you just sweep it away, and you're left with that pure gold. Okay, and God wants to do that in our lives as well. All right? He wants to purify us. Okay, take away all those impurities in our lives. All right? A lot of us often have impurities in our lives which God wants to take it away. All right? And often He'll do it by heating us up, by putting through those tough times. Okay, we're tested with fire. All right? And then what happens is those impurities come up. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced when you go through a tough time. Often, the weirdest stuff starts coming to surface. All right, you suddenly start doing things that you don't even know where it comes from. All right, or suddenly you start snapping at people where you never used to be like that or whatever. All right, but God, and often those times, God is bringing those impurities to the surface. All right, and what He wants us to do as Christians is to not try and fix ourselves, but to take those impurities and give it to God. Okay, acknowledge them before God and say, "Lord, this stuff you're showing me is wrong in my life. Please come and fix it. Holy Spirit, please come. I repent of this stuff and come and wipe me clean. Okay, make me pure." All right, that's our role. That's the role is or God's purpose is not to try and make us feel guilty. All right, God is wanting us to acknowledge those things, to bring it before Him, so He can purify us. All right, only God can purify us. We can't purify ourselves. All right. Okay. The other thing is focus. Okay, to build our trust. All right, nice scripture that says that it says there. Sometimes God lets you hit rock bottom, so that you will discover that He is the rock at the bottom. All right. So sometimes God has to take away those things because often we have lost our focus. All right. Now another good example in school, all right, is often when I'm teaching. Now little kids lose their focus very easily. All right. They've got an attention span of about 20 minutes max. Okay. So you've got to be working very carefully with them. And you've got to be very patient with him as well. Right? And I think God has to obviously be patient with us because sometimes we're like children as well. We lose our attention very quickly. You know, God's got a purpose. He's got a vision. And sometimes we get sidetracked. Right? Often we get sidetracked. You know, and often, so I'll be teaching my heart out, you know, trying to get a point across. And then there's a little boy there scribbling in his book. You know, well, I've often had it where, you know, I've taught for an hour, you know, I'm like sweating, I've been teaching so much, I've been trying to put this point across, and then a kid will put up his hand and say, "Sir, when is break?" you know? And that just goes, and you go that small after that. But, you know, sometimes those kids lose their focus. So now they're not concentrating on what I'm trying to teach them. They're concentrating on something else. Okay, they're concentrating on drawing something. Okay, now that drawing or reading, right? Often they're reading while I'm trying to teach. Okay, now those things are not bad. You know, reading is great. I love them to read. Okay, reading's good for them. All right, drawing is great as well. You know, but those things, even though they are good, at those times they are distracting us. Okay, they're distracting those kids from what I'm trying to say. Okay, and it's the same with God. You know, often we get distracted by certain things. Okay, and those things are not necessarily bad, but they are taking our focus away from God at that point. Okay, and often what God has to do is take those things away. Okay, so He has to clear out all that stuff so that we refocus again. Okay, so what I'll often do is I'll confiscate the book or the piece of paper. All right, and I'm not trying to steal their joy or to make them miserable. I'm wanting them to focus because I know how important it is what I'm saying. Okay, what I'm trying to teach them is important for them to succeed again in life. Alright, it's a small bit, but it's important. Okay, and God is the same. Sometimes He has to take away certain things from our lives, even if it's not necessarily a bad thing. But He has to take away it just maybe for a moment. Alright, sometimes He gives it back. Alright, after the lesson, I'll give that thing back. Okay? But God has to take those things away so that we refocus on Him. Okay? And that's often a pattern in non-believers' lives as well. Alright? God actually sometimes causes, say, their whole life to almost collapse. Right? All those things that they stood on that they thought were solid ground, that they believe in whatever, He takes those things away. Okay, why does He do that? Not to kill our joy or not to make us miserable, but for us to focus on Him. Okay, for us to seek Him ultimately. Alright. Then, the next one is a cool scripture. I like this one. Another purpose, and this is a very important one, is He wants us to become heirs with Him. Okay, He's got a kingdom. God has got a kingdom. And He wants to give us that kingdom. Right, He wants us to rule and to reign. Okay, He's given that to Jesus, but Jesus has also given that to us. Right, He wants us to reign. Okay, it says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Okay, so that's it. That says that God's got a kingdom for us. Okay, He's got an inheritance for each one of us. Alright, but often we need to go through a bit of tough times for us to receive that kingdom. Okay, that inheritance. Alright, now why does He do that? Why do we have to suffer to get that inheritance? Okay? Well, if you think of certain things that you've done in your lives, alright, those things that meant the most to you are those things that you've had to suffer for. Right? Those of you who maybe want to accomplish something and have to really, really put in a lot of effort, you know, sacrifice a lot, and eventually accomplish that thing becomes, you take ownership of that thing. Right? It becomes yours, it becomes more meaningful. Right? Good example in my life is 2 years ago, I ran the Two Oceans full marathon, ultra marathon, right? And it's 56 kilometers. Right? I'd never done that before. And so I had this challenge. I wanted to finish it, right? And it took a lot of effort, okay? Saturday mornings, we'd wake up, we'd do a 30K run. We'd have to do a lot of runs during the week, you know? And sometimes it was hard, okay? We had to suffer. And when we did the race, I suffered as well, big time. Okay, my legs were killing me. You know, I got to the end and I felt like crying. Right? And they would know. I was like, I couldn't speak after that. She had to help me down the steps. I was so sore, my legs. But you know, I felt I felt so good after, even though I was hurting, I felt so good after that because I had suffered through that. I'd put so much effort into that, and I'd succeeded in that certain thing. All right, and I'd taken ownership of that. I know now that I completed that marathon. You know, I put through the pain, I pushed through the pain, and I received the prize at the end, that medal. It wasn't a great time, but I got the medal in. Anyway, okay. Right, so we take ownership of something that we sacrifice for. Alright, those people who are married will know this. The guys, you don't love what you don't sacrifice for. Okay? So you've got to, if you, those girls as well, as a lesson to you, don't just throw yourself at a guy. He's got to work for you. Okay? Because that is when that man or that whatever guy appreciates you. Right? Because when he sacrifices for you, that's when he's going to love. Okay? And it's the same in our lives. We need to, those things that we sacrifice for, we appreciate, we love. Okay? Right. Okay, now, what do we do? Okay, what, in those times, what happens when we go through those times? What is our, what does God want us to do in those tough times? Okay, now what He doesn't want us to do is to question His goodness, as we said in the beginning. Okay, we always need to keep that in mind, that God is good. Okay, the things that we're going through, even though we don't know what's going on, we still need to trust Him. Right, now the first thing, The second thing is to praise Him. David was very good with this. If you look at the Psalms, when he goes to these various Psalms, when he pours out his heart to God, he says, Lord, you know, I feel like I'm about to die here. I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death here. Right, the times are tough. But most of those times, though, in fact, I think all of those Psalms, he ends it off by praising God, by declaring His goodness, by saying that he trusts in Him. Okay. So when we're going through a tough time, we need to praise God. Right? He wants us to praise Him, to worship Him. And by praising Him, it shows us two things. Right? It shows us that we trust in Him. Okay? And it shows that we know that He's in control. Okay, so if you praise Him, you know, you are saying to Him that, God, you are in control here. I trust you, right? I don't understand what's going on, but I know that you are good. And I worship you even in those tough times because you are good. Okay. What it also does when we praise Him is that it takes the focus away from ourselves and onto Him. Okay, that's another point. When you are going through a tough time, don't start looking at yourself. Don't have self-pity. All right, don't start... oh Lord, I'm such a worm. Why am I going through this? I'm such a bad person. Okay, look to God. Praise Him. All right, say, God, I don't understand what's going on here, but I know that you are good. I know that you are in control. And I praise you now. I trust you. All right, because I know that you're going to bring me through this. You're not going to leave me here. Okay, God doesn't want to leave you in those times. He's right there with you. All right. The other thing is look back at the victories or breakthroughs in your life. All right, go back to those altars. All right, in the Old Testament, God often would say to the Israelites, once he's achieved a victory in their journey, all right, if you look at the Israelites, then He would say, build an altar. Okay, now why was He saying build an altar? All right, it says there so that when your children ask you, why are these pile of stones here? Then you can say, well, God brought us through. God stopped the river and caused the whole of the Israelites to walk through. All right? Or we walked around Jericho 7 times and the walls fell down and we achieved an amazing victory. And that was because of God. Okay, so look back on those times when God has come through for you. Right? When He has achieved victory in your life. Okay. The next thing is be obedient. Okay. God does want you to bring you out of those times, but you need to be obedient in those times, especially in those times. Obviously, everywhere, all right. But you really need to seek God in those times. We need to say, God, what do I need to do here? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me? Sometimes our period of trouble or trials or suffering actually gets extended because we're disobedient. Right? If you look at the Israelites, God's purpose originally was not for them to walk 40 years in the desert. But because of their disobedience, He actually extended that suffering. Right? Again, it was so that He could teach them something. He could change their hearts. All right. So you need to be obedient in those times. Okay? Because often that will shorten the time that you are suffering. Okay, the next thing. Persevere. All right. Jesus again gives us a good example of this. All right, it says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, so Jesus, when he went to the cross, he didn't have an earthly perspective. Okay, he wasn't looking at things on this earth. He was looking at things beyond. All right. And that's what we should have as Christians. Okay, we should have an eternal perspective. Okay, we're not here, we're here for whatever 70 odd years. Okay, but that's only a small portion of our existence. Okay. Our purpose in life. All right? We need to have that eternal perspective, looking ahead, right? Looking for that joy that God has set before us. Okay, God has purposed victory for us. Past that suffering, look ahead to that stuff. Don't look at what's going on in your present circumstances. Okay, see the bigger picture, right? God has got a bigger picture in mind. Okay, and that time those tough times that you are going through. Are there to achieve that bigger purpose. Right? He wants to fulfill something and accomplish something in through the suffering. Okay. Right. And the other thing is obviously to rejoice in our sufferings. Okay. Because God is ultimately making us more like Jesus when we suffer and when we go through those tough times. Right, so we need to see that. We need to rejoice in that. Right, to say, God, I know this time is tough, but I thank you that you are making me more like you. Right? You're making me more like Jesus, and I rejoice in that. Right? Because that ultimately is more important and is going to bring us much more fruit than the suffering that we go through. Right, the hard times. And I know I would rather go through those hard times to be more like Jesus than not. Okay, to have my character built. Right, that's God's purpose in it. Okay, and I just want to, we're going to be taking a look at a little clip. But before that, I just want to take a look at two more scriptures. Okay, the first one is Romans 8, verse 18. All right? It says, therefore, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Okay, that's a cool promise from God. Okay, that the tough times that we go through now are nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Okay, it's like the two can't even compare to each other. All right. The other one is James 1 verse 12. Okay, and this is a promise from God that we can hold on to. All right, it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. Okay, so God wants us to remain steadfast. He wants us to persevere in those tough times. Right? And His promise is that when we've gone through those, when we've stood the test, we've persevered, then we will receive the crown of life. Okay. Now, as I said, we're going to watch a little video. Now, some of you might have seen this before. C.S. has used this in one of his talks. And he sent this one to me, but it's an amazing story of a guy who was born with no arms and no legs. I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy, Nick Uchik, or something like that. I don't know how to pronounce his surname. But we're going to take a look at this, and yeah, just take a look at his tough time and what God has revealed in him. Okay. Please, Dan can come up. All right. Okay, I just want everyone to close their eyes quickly. And if you are, you know, if you are here today, and maybe you are someone who's maybe visiting, or you're coming here for the first time, or maybe you come a lot to the church, but you know that your heart, your relationship with the Lord is not right. You don't have a personal relationship with Him. And maybe you're going through tough times, and you can't find hope, you can't find meaning in why you're going through these times. I want to say to you that you know, God is your hope, right? God is your peace, and God never promises us that we're gonna not go through those tough times, but He promises us that He will be with us in those tough times. He will give us the strength. He will give us the peace. But we need to accept that. Okay, we need to accept that peace. We need to accept that hope. And God wants to give it to us. And Jesus paid a massive price for us so that He could give us that gift. That gift of peace and that gift of strength in those tough times, and boldness. So if there's anyone here who's maybe going through those hard times, or doesn't have that relationship, you don't find that hope, you don't know why stuff is happening, you don't know what is going on, there's no meaning in your life, and you feel that God is pulling on your heart now. He's saying that, I want to give you hope, I want to give you a future. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand, please. Then I just want to make another call. I would just want to pray for those of you who maybe are going through tough times. Okay, maybe you're going through a hard time now, and you don't know what's going on. Right? You don't know why you're going through those tough times. You don't know, it's hard. You know, God seems far from you, and you've got that question, why? Why am I? Maybe you're offended with God. You know? You've been told that your life is going to be great once you become a Christian. Now it's not. You know, I'm going through these tough times. Now what now, God? And God is wanting to give you meaning. He's wanting to give you peace in those tough times. So if that's you, if you're going through tough times, number one, or if you have gone through tough times and you don't have a reason, you don't have a you're offended with God. You don't know why you went through those tough times. You kind of thought God was just gonna take all your problems away, and now they didn't. And these problems came, and now you're wondering why? Why God did you bring those things upon my life? If that's you, I just want you to come to the front so that we can pray for you. You know, we can pray that God will give you peace in those times, and give you meaning in those times, and hope in those times. So if that's you, if you're going through a tough time, or if you have gone through a tough time, and you want some prayer for that, please come forward so that we can pray for you. If there's anyone like that, you can come forward now and pray for you.